There's always a lot of pressure when you look up at the clock and you realize there's a meal coming. And I'm like, I better not go over. Actually, last time I preached, I get back there and Nick says, hey, you went over. I look up, it was 30 seconds over the... You know. Hey, who likes game shows? Okay, we got one, two. Come on, guys. Game shows. Yeah, like Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, yeah, all that stuff. That's right. That's right. Well, I was thinking about the, and this is how it started. It started out as the $10,000 pyramid. And then I know it went to the $25,000 pyramid. And if I'm not mistaken, now it's the $100,000 pyramid. And that's how hard it is to win this thing, you know. But the $10,000 pyramid started in 1973 with Dick Clark as the host. You guys remember that? Yep. Oh, that now you're dating yourself. Yeah. You want to go to Matthew chapter 27? And as I was thinking about what I'd share with you this morning, I was thinking, why don't I do like a word study kind of thing, or at least track down a word and kind of follow it through during this time, you know, of Resurrection Sunday and this whole week and everything that has come up. And why I asked about the game shows was that I came up with a title for the message this morning is Things That Were Opened, okay? Things That Were Opened. And you could almost imagine, you know, Kitty Carlisle or someone sitting there, June Lockhart sitting there going doors, trunks, you know, tombs. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at things that were opened, all right? Things that were opened. So go to Matthew 27:51. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This gave access to the Holy of Holies, and it had been opened. And the earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. And the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Let's pray. Father in heaven, strange events, things that boggle the mind happened this week and leading up to the resurrection of our Savior. And Father, we thank you that you teach us through your word, guide our study this morning, and help us to glean from it what you want for our hearts, for our lives, and transform our minds as you see fit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Over in Luke chapter 24, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. The tomb had been, in effect, what? Opened, right? But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. We find some more things that were opened. Christ's wounds had been opened, his back, his hands, his feet, his head, and his side. He had been openly mocked, if you will. They said, here, look, it's the King of the Jews. They mocked him. They challenged him, save yourself. They spit upon him and they ridiculed him. Again in Luke 24, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. This section of scripture has always fascinated me. I've always wondered, you know, why did Jesus do this. And it's interesting, you know, there's an individual there, Cleopas is his name. We don't know the name of his companion. I assume it's the Apostle John, because he never mentions his name anywhere. So, no, I'm just kidding. It's probably not John. But I'm just saying, we don't know the other guy, but there's two of them. And then Jesus comes alongside of them. You know, if Jesus could be anywhere, why is he taking a 7-mile walk with Cleopas and his companion on that day that he rose from the dead? I don't have an answer. All I know is that it's included here in Scripture in Luke 24. And when he comes up and he sees them, he asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still. They stopped walking. They stood still with their faces downcast. Okay? Downcast because of their unbelief. We find that out later on. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And Jesus very innocently says, "Well, what things?" he asked. Now, if you ever think that God doesn't have a sense of humor, he's just playing with these guys. You know, you're the only one visiting Jerusalem. You're the only one here at Passover where the population swells there in Jerusalem. You're the only one that doesn't know what's been going on. And he goes, "Well, what things? What's going on?" And then they continue. He said, "Well, about Jesus of Nazareth, you know, he was a prophet. He was powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's a third day since all this took place," you know. And I think we could read through that and go, okay, they're just listing the information that they had. But why are they downcast? Why are they so upset? Because they had expectations. The implication here seems to be that if Jesus had conquered death by the third day, he wouldn't be hiding. Nobody seems to be able to know where he is. You think, here he is, the Son of God, and he's risen from the dead. He's shown himself to a few people, but he should have just, you know, presented himself at the temple. Perhaps they thought that Jesus should be amassing an army, calling down every angel he can find, leading the revolt against Rome and all of Israel's enemies. They're saying it's the third day he promised that he would raise from the dead. We can't find him. They go on and add some more details. Starting in verse 22, "In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels." I like that. That they had seen a vision of angels, as if the angels weren't there and they were making it up, you know. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. And then Jesus says to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Now, from the information that they're giving to Jesus, who they don't know that's Jesus, these men obviously were near the inner circle of followers of Christ. They knew the details of that morning. They know that the women went. They know that Peter and John went. And yet, no Jesus. We continue. "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things?" This is Jesus speaking. "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And I'm not going to go into all the prophecies. But in fact, I'm going to move forward in time in Revelation chapter 5. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. So he, Jesus, went and took the scroll. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because, not because you're the Son of God in particular, not because you've healed all of these people, not because you did miracles, not because of any of these things, but they said, because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." They sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." Christ said to them, "Don't you know that the Messiah had to suffer these things before he entered his glory?" We catch up with Cleopas and his companion. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. I believe that there's more than just hospitality involved here. You know, that's the Oriental way of doing things. A stranger shows up, you invite them in, you feed them, you bathe them, you do, you know, give them all of the amenities that you can. But I believe that's more than that here. There was something about this stranger who seemed to know nothing about the events of the day, and yet he knew everything about Jesus. And when he was at the table with them, and this is where we get to the open part, okay? When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Things that were opened. Revelation chapter 3, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Folks, to sit down with Jesus and ask him every question that you ever had. You know, we have an eternity to do that. In fact, I think that there are going to be a lot of questions that are common questions among all believers, and we'll just be listening in, you know. But to sit down with Jesus, to sit at a meal with him and to listen as he opens up our understanding of how so much of Scripture points to his death, burial, and resurrection. And then the joy of hearing about the prophecies of his return and the assurance of his kingdom. I don't know if I would ever want the name Cleopas, but I sure would have liked to have been him. And you know what they do after this is they pack up. Jesus has left. They pack up and they head back to Jerusalem, another 7-mile walk, because they've seen him and they want to report it. If we think about those who should have known, who saw the scripture, who saw Jesus, who should have put two and two together, who should have understood all that was going on, we think of people like the Pharisees. John chapter 12. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. Things that were opened. Things that were not opened. Because of the fear of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith. Folks, I'm going to get you to breakfast, okay? Because we're closing down right now. We learned three important things. Number one, Jesus does not have to explain himself to us. Okay? Does not have to. Yet he eagerly does, as much as we can understand through his word and through the work of the Holy Spirit. That's number one. Number two, he is seeking you out. And whatever and wherever your journey takes you, he walks with you and he eats with you and he amazes you with his loving presence. And you know that. Your heart has burned within you. If you have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Number three, and this is actually three parts, but that's okay. They're hidden together, so they don't count. All right? But they do. Number one, we must listen when he speaks. We must listen when he speaks. We must respond when he knocks. And we must never put anyone or anything above our relationship with him. We must never be afraid of openly acknowledging our faith for the fear that someone is going to judge us or not appreciate us for that. And you know why? Because he loves you so. He loves you so. Folks, he is risen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, show us our next step. Show us our next step as we openly follow our risen Savior. Help us to just be open to whatever you would have for us as individuals and as the body of this church. We ask that you open eyes where they are blind, that you open ears where they cannot hear, that you open hearts that are hard. And Lord, we thank you that you love to do that. We praise you and we rejoice this morning. You have risen. Amen. Amen. All right, you are dismissed.